about going up for prayer. You knew you needed prayer. But in an atmosphere of praise and real worship, you probably remember a time when you received your healing just while that was going on. Because worshiping a God that's real, but He's invisible, it signifies to your spirit that you believe in that God. And so just worshiping raises our faith, and that faith opens the door for healings and blessings. And there's nothing but good about worshiping God the way we are right now. And it's good to have you here, and it's always awesome to be in the house of the Lord. There's nothing that I would rather do than be right here. And there are times I feel like David, and he worshiped the presence of God and longed for the presence and the place of God. And there's times I understand exactly what he went through until he got into those times when it was arrows flying by and his father-in-law throwing javelins. I never dealt with that, thankfully. But I'm thankful for that in my somewhat tame life, this is still my refuge. And in your life, in a great country that God has blessed us with, this still is our refuge. Amen. It's good to be in a place where God is supreme. Amen. Our guest, it's so good to have you here today. And I think we've already said, but if you're a first-time guest, we'd like to meet you in the lobby to the room and to the right when you go out, just for a quick minute to say hello. And, we like first-time guests, but has Jonah been here before? This is his first time to be in church. Amen. Baby Jonah, welcome. I looked over and saw him and I thought, I think this is his first time to be in church. And you know, church babies, when they grow up hearing singing and preaching and all of that, you can walk into a place that's loud and they're just cool with it. Some babies that aren't used to it, they acclimate. It's all right to bring one in here that has never been, but you, just something different. We, growing up in the church, we went to sleep under the pews. Yeah, yeah. We were raised laying on, well, we didn't have carpet in our church when I was that little, and the floor sloped a little bit, so you didn't want to roll too much. But I remember going to sleep under the pew, and there was great things. That's where I got my gum, was from under the pew. I'm sorry to tell you that, but just when you're kids, you do kid things. I didn't know if it's mine or not, but it, you know, it was a menagerie. That's where people put their gum. Oh, Lord, let us get back into the Spirit. I want to go to the Word of the Lord. That's really a good thing to do. Desire, and we all know what desire is, but desire draws us to a decision that could be God's call and God's purpose in our life. You can want something by thinking of it, and that's what advertising does. It tries to put that image in your mind, and we can want it just by thinking of it. But desire is from within us. It's more than just knowing something, but it's a longing, and it arrests your attention towards that object of your desire. God desires us, but He wants us to desire Him. That's why we come back again and again, and we want to equip ourselves and prepare ourselves for His Spirit to lead us and guide us. It's living for God's not about this place. This is just where we get refueled. It's out there that God is glorified. Amen. Psalm 63 and verse 1 through 8, as we hear the pages of all the Bibles turning. We've changed, you know. We got the words, got them on our phones. And it all works, though it's the Word of God. And reading from the New King James, it says, O God, You are my God, early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You, my flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because of Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help, therefore, in the shadows of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. The King James says, my soul follows hard after you. I follow right behind you. Your right hand upholds me. And one more reading, Psalm 37 in verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in him. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Father, we ask today that your Spirit, of course, would guide us and that your word would nourish us, God. But open our minds and our hearts today. Lord God, be glorified in your word. Bless, we ask. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing, and thank you for worship. We have a lot of people out, and we're filling in the voids. I appreciate my wife playing today. She can't play lengthy like she could before without pain, and I've prayed for her and prayed for God to keep her from all of the pain. I can see a smile on her face and see the pain through the smile and know. But I'm grateful for that, grateful for our praise singers and on and on and on, our teachers and so forth. It's just, it takes a village. Amen. God wants you to need him. My subject today, my title, and that title's for me, it keeps me in line, but it is In Pursuit of God. And again, I know that's a general title, but God is good for general thoughts. In Pursuit. I think you're here today, whether you've been here for many times or your first time, you're here today in part because you are in pursuit of God. Well, I've been serving God for years, right, but we still pursue God. We need him every day. Every day we need God. And so every day is a different pursuit. In the board game, not my favorite one, but it's a Monopoly. Matter of fact, it's not anywhere near the, you know, board games, I'm all right. I like the fellowship that it causes and allows. But Monopoly, it was when I'd see somebody open Monopoly is like, you know, bringing out the Encyclopedia Britannica and like, it's not like that, but it was just the same emotion, like, oh, okay, we'll do it. But if you invite me over for Monopoly, I will have a great time playing that board game. But, you know, you buy the houses, you buy the business. I always loved the money. The $500 bills was awesome, and, you know, not that you did much with them. But, you know, you have opportunities that are afforded by you doing things that are kind of mirror real life. But you can't do it in an hour like you can there. But you buy land and just by rolling the dice, and sometimes you end up in jail. And you roll, and it says four, and you're four steps away from jail, and boom, 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 oh, I'm in jail. But you also have an opportunity to get the card that says get out of jail free. And so if you have a get out of jail free card, then you may be in jail, but you can just show them that card and say, I'm just going to be in there for a minute because I'm moving right on out of there. Because I have a card that allows me to do that. There's no such cards in real life. You got to get out of jail. There's a lot of things you got to go through. We realize that it's a board game, and you know when I'm playing it, I'm usually bored. It's not real. It's just a board. But it's somewhat like life, though. That, I mean, the properties, the taxes, and the water department. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not out into the game that much. But living for God is not for a collection of cards, an opportunity so that you can escape trouble. Now, I want to escape trouble. I don't want to be standing in the quagmire of life, of bad decisions. I don't want to be standing there hoping I got something in my wallet that I can show an authority that'll help me get out. That isn't how life goes. But living for God is not for just trying to get out of problems, but it's for the relationship with him that draws us toward him. And that relationship is what blesses our steps, our pathway. When we walk through the valley of the shadow, there's a relationship there that gets me through it. Amen. When we go through the dark night, there's a relationship there that takes me through that. And so that's why I serve God today, is because there's a relationship involved and there's blessings in that relationship, and our pathway is blessed, and it prevents a world of problems from cropping up in our lives. Amen. And so what we do in serving God is we enjoy the benefits, but I don't serve him for the benefits. The benefits are there because we serve God. And We worship him today, but no one made you come to church if you're of age to drive yourself. Children, I know I was there, and you know, I was wishing I was anywhere but church sometimes. And I know that's not a great advertisement for my childhood, but it bored me a lot when I was in church. But I was glad when I got older and I got my own car, and I never did not go to church. I made sure I went to church because I realized God gave me transportation. He gave me a job so that I could have the car. So I'm going to keep serving God. And I began to understand about that relationship, and there's benefits for it. And he gave me a better job, and I got a better car, and he gave me a wife. And then my wife got better because I realized that she was better than what I thought she was, because I was a young man and I didn't really know how to be a young man married to somebody, and God gave me wisdom and appreciation, and our life got better and better. And so I'm not going to clock out because we've got it made now. We're married, we've got our kids, we've got our grandkids, we'll see you later, and you know, call us if things get real bad. Right now, today, I've got a great life, wonderful life. But it's because, and you're mirroring that, some of you have done the same thing, it's because you bought into the plan. You understood that your God reigns and that your God loves you and that he will bless you. And whenever you go through that dark place, he will go there through with you. And when you come out on the other side, you have praise to give to your God. And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. Amen. For David to say, my soul thirsts for you and my flesh longs for you. We know that he had built a space for God in his life, and he saw the similarities in being protected by God and him as a shepherd protecting the sheep. And he understood the Lord is my shepherd because he had been a shepherd, and he understood how important that watchful shepherd is. And David's life was spared many times. And he said, that's my shepherd right there because he watches out for me. I've been through the same dark nights. And the Bible says we should delight in him, Psalm 37:4. And he will give you what you desire, what you desire. If he is my delight.
Yes, yes, he is.
Now, you pay insurance on your cars and houses, and we have to do it. We had an agent one time, and he was just really a great person to talk to, and we would go. It was a relationship. He really was, and I knew his kids, and he knew our kids, and I knew that he had had his license for only an hour when he had his first wreck, and or been added to insurance for like an hour when he had his first wreck, and we had that happen in our family. Not mentioning any names, but it happened. And so when I told him, he goes, oh, that happened to me. He goes, I drove my dad's car. I think he had his license or his insurance for 2 hours, and boom. And this, you know, he understood. But one day I went in and talked to him. Now, he's not our agent anymore. They moved and things shifted. And I don't know what happened. But one day I went in there and talked to him, and I had a wreck. And I said, so what car company do I use to rent my car? Because, you know, we have that coverage. He goes, you don't have that coverage. I said, we've always had that coverage. No, you have to tell me every time you update. Every time you have to tell me when you renew. And I said, we've never had to say that. He goes, well, that's how it is now. And I kind of got the feeling that, you know, they lost a little money maybe on that, or they were saving money by unchecking that box. And my relationship with him, now, I didn't get angry and storm out, but I just thought, you know, we come in here and talk and get friendly, but it's a business.
Right.
It's a business with him. And he's having to sit over there knowing that maybe they said, what we're going to do is change policy, and we're going to put it in a letter, a mailer, and it's going to be in there somewhere. If you have a magnifying glass, you'll see it down in the bottom left corner, and they have to look, and they it's going to have a little red writing there, and they're going to know. And I don't know if that's it or not, or if we really just totally missed it. But I realized that I like this guy. I'm glad he's our agent, but there's a little separation now, because it really is just a business. It's just a business at the end of the day. And I understood that. I didn't hold it against him, didn't send him any hate mail. I just, you know, well, it is what it is, and we'll go rent the car and pay our own money. That's what happened. But whenever I got in trouble with my Creator, and it was my fault, and I'm the one that made the mistake, I went to him. And I said, God, I know you made me, and I know, God, you formed me, and you gave me every opportunity to pray this situation out of my nature. But I slipped up, and Lord, I wasn't faithful, or I did this or that. When I came to him, I understood he was still my shepherd. He was still the Lord of my soul, and he still took a hold of me. He forgave me. He stood me up. He blessed me. Whatever it might have been, my God never turned his back on me, because it's not a business, it's a relationship with God. It's all about the relationship. I'm glad for the relationship right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Without these very basic and necessary benefits or the pursuit of them, you know, the average Christian will fade in their commitment and turn things outside in the outside realm of God's kingdom. They'll turn to things that are outside of there for their comfort. When we don't monitor or maintain the relationship, the benefits, they keep coming as long as we continue to have that relationship with God. And I'm thankful for how God blesses us like that. But see, God, listen to this part, and if you can, the rest of it, it's important, but this is really important. God truly wants you to need him. He wants you to need him bad. He wants you to need him. He wants to be the one you have to go to first for everything that you need. He wants you to go to him early in the morning. David said, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. Early in the day, early in the situation, early. You're not going to be my last opportunity. You're not going to be that last door I open, Lord. But early I'm going to go to you because I want to maintain the relationship. Amen. 1 Kings 22. Verse 5-7, Jehoshaphat. Now, let me tell you, Jehoshaphat, as the song says in Sunday school, was a good king. And a good king was he. And he was a happy guy. But as you read his life, you realize he was somewhat naive. He liked people and he wanted people to like him. Yes. I can identify with that. I'm a pastor. And so he went to the king of Israel, and he said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, here is the reason he wanted him to inquire. He goes to the king of Israel, which was names was Ahab, and Ahab had this wonderful wife named Jezebel, and great woman, in no way at all, and sinful in everything, upside down and backwards in her character and nature, evil personified. And so, but this is not about her. It's just that this is the guy that married her. And so Jehoshaphat goes there, and so Ahab says, hey, I'm glad you came today. We're going to go out and fight the Syrians because, you know, they got stuff that belongs to us. Would you be willing to go? And he said, well, the king of Israel, he gathered all the prophets together, about 400 men, and they said, shall I go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle? So here he is satisfying what Jehoshaphat asked him to do. He said, you know, you want me to pray and to seek out favor? We're going to the prophets. He said, shall we go up or shall I forbear? And 400 men, this is unity right here, 400 men, they all said unto him, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. 400-0. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, you know, that we might inquire of him? In other words, appreciate you bringing the 400 guys out. And they all were just wonderfully in one accord. But might there be a prophet of the Lord we can ask? Because I know you and I know those prophets. And I know they're just saying what you paid them to say. But see, if I'm going to go fight a battle with you, and I'm going to be on the battlefield with you, can we ask for another prophet? See, this was, of course, during the time of the divided kingdom. And when Judah was sometimes, they were sometimes ruled by a good king, and Israel was just about always ruled by a bad king. And Ahab was that bad king, and Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings of Judah, not one of the evil kings of Israel. And the godly king Jehoshaphat, going to the bad king, who invited him to come to fight against Syria. Immediately, Jehoshaphat asked, can we find out? So he just did what he asked him to do. But he said, that's not enough. I'd like to talk to somebody that, you know, might be in tune with God. And they said, well, we've got one prophet here. And they brought in Micaiah. And Micaiah was a good prophet of God. And so they brought him out and they said, shall we go to battle? And he said, yep, go. God's going to prosper you. It's going to be great. Going to have a huge victory. And I'm sure he rolled his eyes because that was his attitude. Like, yeah, you go for it. This is going to be great. He's a prophet of God. He knew what was going to happen. And they hit him on the mouth. And they said, hey, you tell the truth. He goes, all right. I had a vision. And I saw all those soldiers out there scattered like people without a shepherd or a king. And so the wonderfully perceptive Ahab said, excellent, let's go fight. And the next thing was a little bit odd. Ahab talked to Jehoshaphat and said, I've got a plan. Now, I told you he was a great king as far as Israel's leader, but he was naive. And so Ahab said, what I want you to do is put on my robe and my crown, and you're going to look like me, because we're going to put a switch on them. And I'm going to dress in a disguise, and you're going to be disguised as me. How about that? Now, here's the man that just heard Micaiah say, sheep without a shepherd, there's somebody's going to go down. And he put on the wicked king's garments and got in a chariot and went to the battlefield. And when the soldiers came after him, he cried out and said, it's me, I'm not him. And they recognized him and they stopped because they didn't want to kill the wrong king. But then a soldier over there, one of these guys that probably never could hit the target, so they told him, they said, you know, go over there where you don't hurt anybody and just shoot some arrows and just practice, you know, shooting arrows. And so he got an arrow and he just shot an arrow randomly. And he watched that arrow sink into the back of Ahab, who fell over in his chariot. They propped him up until the evening time and he died. A random arrow took out the man who said, slap the face of the prophet that's trying to tell me that we're not going to win. The difference in these two kings, while you can fault Jehoshaphat for being naive, The difference in these two kings is Jehoshaphat loved the Lord. Yes, he had a heart for God. He might have had some issues in the State Department and how to handle his affairs, but he loved God. And I'll tell you something, when you love God, it'll cover a multitude of other flaws in your nature. When you love God in the relationship, God's working on your flaws and God's working to build you up and God's working to make you better. But when you're like Ahab, God's just trying to get rid of the problem. But when you're like Jehoshaphat, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to love God. Amen. And I'm not telling you it's all, you don't need to better yourself. We all want to better ourselves. But when we've got imperfections in our character and our nature, that's where the Holy Ghost is at working on you, building you up on the inside, making you in the image of your Creator. Amen. What a mighty God we have that loves us that much. Amen. Thank God that He's always, always on our side. We may not understand it. We may misunderstand Him sometimes. But God is always, always with us. To be clear, it was God that got him out of that mess because truly he was a good king. But when you look back at where all of this started, it was a time when things were easy for Jehoshaphat. And Ahab had won two battles in a row. He had won two battles against the Syrians. And when you are winning, it's easy to think everything's going right for me. I must be doing something right. See, that would have been time for Ahab to say, now that I've got two victories back to back, I think it's time for me to find the God that's providing victories for Israel. But instead, he took that on himself, gave himself a pat on the back, and decided to just go out a little further and say, let's see where else we can go. Picked a fight with the wrong people because judgment was already in his pathway. God's demonstration in your life is always tied to your pursuit of Him. Always going to be tied to your pursuit of Him. Amen. We were blessed again yesterday to minister at the prison. And Brother John, you baptized two. And I baptized one in the earlier session yesterday morning. And I always leave there feeling good. Because they cannot come here. But thankfully, we have access to go there. And for the first time ever in my life, I baptized a man with no shirt on. And it worked. It still worked. It's a men's prison. There's nobody there but men. And I just thought, this is kind of comical, you know, that he came out there in some gym shorts. And we baptized him in Jesus' name. And I just thought, God, these men are at a place where you are their only hope. And this is what they need. Amen. And God is so, you feel His presence in that place. I'll tell you, the presence of God is in those church services. And it is what you would call an effectual door that has been opened. Because there are so many needs. And where there's a need, that's where you're going to find God. But now if all of them agreed as one and said, all right, look, we're not going to seek after God. We're going to just bind ourselves. The Lord wouldn't be there. But their hearts, their minds are open. I want to tell you, all you have to do is have a heart that says, God, I want to pursue more of you. I have some part of you, but I want to know more about you, Lord. I'm in pursuit of everything, your excellence, your holiness, your power, your blessings that cover us every day. I want more of what God can give me. Psalm 63:8, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Your right hand, God. I'm pursuing you, God. I'm after you. I want everything to. I want to know it all about you, God. The cause and effect of our pursuit means that God holds up the one who follows close behind Him. You want to feel God? Just get in touch with Him. Just follow Him. Just walk after Him. Just be a part of His ways. Read His Word. Understand the movings of His Spirit and what He's demanding or asking of you. And there's a relationship waiting there for you. For every one of us, don't disqualify yourself with anything. Don't say, yeah, but I know. No, just say, I know God wants to have a relationship with me. Don't label yourself. Don't be a reject. Don't think that you're too bad for God. You can't get too far gone for God. His mercy is great. His mercy is awesome. Amen. Oh, I see it when we go to the prison and we see those men with their hands raised crying. And last time we was there, one of them received the Holy Ghost, and I thought, you know, I don't know why he's here, but I know why God's here. It's because he needs him. He raised his hands and God filled him with the Holy Ghost, because God will meet you at the point of your need if you pursue him. David wrote this in other Psalms when he was running from his son Absalom. And when you go back into that story, I won't go into it, but really David was not the greatest father. Jehoshaphat wasn't the greatest king, but both of these men loved God and gave him the glory. I might have flaws, you might have flaws and faults, and you might see them every day and you may live with them, but understand this, that doesn't remove God from your equations. He still wants to be a part of your battlefield. He wants to be in your thoughts. He wants to be in everything that you pursue. Your God loves you. Amen. He can fix you too. He made us. He's really good at that.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The cause and the effect of our pursuit means that God holds up the one who follows close behind. See, if I pursue him, he's going to be there for me. He's going to hold me up. When I'm confused and it doesn't make sense, he's holding me up. When I come into a dead end and it's a brick wall, God's holding me up. When it's a dark night and I'm looking around saying, does anybody care? He's holding me up. Yes. Amen. He is your peace. He is your comfort. He is with you right now. Amen. He's just asking permission. Can I come into your trouble? Can I come into your problem? Can I be there with you? And he's more than willing and such. Amen. Then David went through the valley of the shadow. And when you have been deposed by your own son and run out of your palace and your throne, and you've crossed the Jordan and you're running into a city to be just a city of refuge, and your men are going to have to fight a battle, and they've said, you're not going to fight in this battle. We don't want our king out there. And David has to wait in the gates of the city for the news that no matter what it is, it's going to be bad news. If Absalom wins, my son lives, but I'm not the king anymore, and I could die. If we win, Absalom dies. I get the throne back, But oh, Absalom, he said, would to God I had died for thee. Yes. David, in his mind, I believe, was going back and tracing everything back. Amen. To when he failed God. Yes. And then whenever his family began to have these issues, Amnon had a friend, Jonadab. Oh, David, you didn't do anything about that. Tamar, she was molested, and you didn't worry. You just said, oh, well, we'll let it, bygones be bygones. David, no. That's when Absalom thought now he's going to kill Amnon, and Amnon has now been killed at a party, a sheep shearing. And David just, he wept over it, he cried over it, but he never stepped in. He let these things go, and now he's in Mahanaim, and he's there in the gate saying, I'm wanting to know what that runner coming, what news he has. And David realized, doesn't matter. Bad news, either way. The good news is the bad news. But you know something that he never stopped? He never stopped pursuing God. He repented of his sins. Amen. He repented and said, God, please cover me. Cover me from my guilt, Lord. And allow me to stand upright before you. But he continued to pursue after God. Some people would have turned away and said, that's no use. I'm a loser. I'm not cut out for this. David said, no. He remembered. He remembered that oil that prophet poured on his head and ran down his beard and into his clothes. And then they sent him back to the sheepfold to continue watching over the sheep. But he never forgot the anointing. He never forgot about the prophet and the relationship that day when all of his brothers were denied and God said, that's the one. He honored the anointing. He honored the relationship. Even in his time of making mistakes, David said, I'm going to continue to pursue after God. Jeremiah 33:3. I'm coming to a close. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. There is so much in that one sentence right there. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. God's given you a promise. You call me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. That last part right there is what we need to underline in our Bibles. I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know about. My ways are not your ways. God's love is not our love. God's patience is not our patience. But he underlines that and says, thou knowest not. You can't measure me. You can't figure me out, the realms of my habitation. No man can know. But you don't know what I can do. I know early in, it's early in our marriage, early in my ministry, the same thing. I had so many circumstances where as I'm praying, I'm picturing myself because I wanted to take mental note of this. And sometimes I wrote things down. I have a calendar. It's in a box we have of letters we wrote each other. I wrote her 1 to her 10. But still, some letters are good. But my calendar is in there. And I wrote on there, has God answered it yet? Has God answered? I have handwritten notes there. But I remember the feeling that it was like I was at the end of a long hallway. And there were no doors getting to that point, and it was just bricked in all the way around. And that's what I felt like. And so I would write these things down and say, how is God going to get me out of this? Because I wanted to have a testimony. Am I going to spend the rest of my day staring at a wall? Is that where I'm going to be? Should have took a picture and just said, let's see if this is going to be set in stone. But in my youthfulness, my lack of wisdom, I was soon out of that situation, and God came through in a way that just blew my mind. And I was like, wow, how did he do that? But you know what? I was there again a few weeks later. Different hallway, different tunnel, and God helped me out. About, I don't know, I don't remember every detail, but I would say maybe about the fourth or fifth tunnel, so to speak. I remember praying with a smile, going, Lord, I'm actually looking forward to seeing how you're going to get me out of this. Because I know you're going to get me out of it because we've got to go on. The floor could open up. The ceiling could open up. You could just beam me up, whatever. But somehow, God, I'm going to get out of this because I found out something about you. That though the night might find me weeping, though I may be on my back saying, Lord, where are you at? I don't feel you. I can't perceive you. I went to the left where you are, and I went to the right. I don't know where you're at, but oh God, I know that there's going to be joy in the morning. I know the sun is going to rise again because this is all about a relationship. It's about knowing him and receiving him and basking in his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You call, he answers. You reach, he reaches back. As you pursue God and his kingdom, your life will reflect the pursuit of him. It's when you're in pursuit that good things happen to you. Jeremiah 3:1, they say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. He's saying this to Israel. He said, yet return to me, says the Lord. See, he's using, you know, an unfaithful wife or an unfaithful husband, whichever it might be. And he goes, but you could get back together, but there's going to be issues. There's going to be, the land's polluted. He said, but for you, just come on back. Just come on back to me. Please, because I want you where you were, because I haven't stopped loving you. Isn't that amazing? He says that to Israel. He says that to all of us. The more you pursue God in your prayer life, work life, decisions, anything else that pertains to your soul, the greater the demonstrations in your life will be. The greater the demonstrations. You're going to be at those tunnels. You're going to be at the end of that hallway. And God's going to get you out. God is going to be glorified through your struggles. And you're going to have a testimony, and you will be a testimony. Two scriptures as we stand. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me. I didn't give these to our overhead guy back there. Sorry, Latchy. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. Well, it's already 1:09, so we can't seek God early. We've missed our mark. We've missed the opportunity. No. Here's what I feel like. Now, early is a good time to seek God, early in the day. But I have also found that I need to seek God early in my problem. Early in my despair, so I don't lose heart. I need to seek God early in the circumstances before it gets out of hand. Now, God can still recover. Oh, he can. But there's no reason for us to suffer that length of time of being anxious and afraid. So we need to seek him early. Early. I've walked past fire alarms before. I've seen them on the wall. If you've ever been in high school, you heard them go off because somebody did it, just because. But I've wondered before, would I remember to go out there and break the glass and pull the lever? I hope I would. Or would I be practical and think, well, it may be contained and I don't want to get the fire department involved unless they really need to be here. And so I've thought about, not a lot of thought, and I haven't spent days on this, but just a fleeting thought. I just hope that I would break the glass at the right time. Pull the lever. Everything goes off, but there's a chance somebody's going to go, oh, no, we've got it contained. We've got it contained. It's all right. Well, the fire department may have already been alerted, so we may need to call them again. I don't know. See, you know, those are thoughts that might go through your head. Here's the thing about, well, I love that song, Let's Have a Little Talk with Jesus. you know, it's not an altar call song, but, you know, it's one we used to sing. The thing about the relationship with God is I can seek Him early before trouble really sets in. I can seek Him early before I've suffered loss or pain. Because here's the deal. He loves it when we talk to Him. He wants to be involved in every little nuance of our moods, I mean, of our nature, ever change. He wants to be involved in that. Oh, we need a habit. And I know we've got these. A lot of you just, you understand. He hears you throughout the day, and these little prayers. And, you know, we've talked about that, praying at a red light, praying when you're walking to the car. God loves those kinds of things. That can't be all, though. Because there's times I got to cry out unto Him and say, God, I need You. I need You. I wonder today if you would like to cash in on your benefits. All you've got to do is be breathing to call out on Him. He's a healer today. He's a way maker today. Yes, He is. He's a way maker. Amen. Why don't we make our way to the front? We always end down here praying. If you have a need, I want you to walk down here as you're thinking about it, and in your mind, understand that when you get down here, God is going to take care, and He's going to take your burden if you'll just hand it over to Him. He is willing and able. Yes, He is. He's willing and He's able. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask You in Your name, God, to let Your Spirit hover in this house, Lord, right now. God, let Your presence settle upon us right now, God. There are needs everywhere, oh Lord, and we're asking in that name above every name, in Jesus' name. Lord, as we seek after You, Lord, receive us, God. Receive us, God. Receive us, Lord. Receive us, Lord. Our strength, our God, our Savior. Oh God, receive us in Jesus' name. Lord, allow that burdened mother to cast her care upon You, God. Lord, allow that marriage to